Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. This week, Prime Minister Mitsotakis presented his new government's vision for Greece over the next few years, pledging to step up the pace of reforms in order to take Greece to the next level. Some of the key steps he outlined include debt reduction, raising incomes for Greeks, promising to crack down on tax evasion to reform the country's health sector, and committing to legalize same-sex marriage. At the same time, Mitsotakis has stated that he is looking to build a new consensus in the center ground of Greek politics. Nikos Evstathiou, a journalist and author in Greece and the deputy editor-in-chief at the weekly magazine LIFO, joins me to look at Prime Minister Mitsotakis' ambitious agenda as his second term kicks off. Niko, great having you back on The Greek Current.
Thank you so much, Thanos, for your invitation. It's great to be back.
Niko, Prime Minister Mitsotakis pledged this week that his government's going to make an early repayment of 5.3 billion euros for the next 2 years of bailout loans. How significant is this step, and what message does it send to investors?
So, Thanos, yeah, this was the week that Prime Minister Mitsotakis made all his pledges for the beginning of his next rule in Greece, his next governing era. The first pledges happened in his Bloomberg interview, and they generated a lot of news. And then the day after, we saw him presenting the government's program in Parliament. I have to tell you, before I comment on the early repayment, that he gave this message of reform that was very strong in his speech in Parliament. He's called on citizens to become architects of our destiny and pledged that the government will be a government representing all Greeks together facing Greece's big challenges. Now, I think the early repayment pledge was one of the most major news to come out of these announcements, particularly for international markets. It was a very confident signal that Greece is fiscally very healthy. And I think it was an attempt to really put a final blow to the narrative that Greece had gone through in the austerity decade of an unreliable financially country. He wants to really turn this around and early on say, look, we're making early repayments and our economy is at a very healthy state. I don't think the timing has to do only with the fact that he's very early in his sort of rule and wants to signal his confidence. I also think it has to do with the fact that Greece seems to be really close to getting investment grade. Some people say it might happen before the end of the summer. Others say we might have to wait for the fall for it. Mitsotakis himself pledged that Greece will be upgraded by all major houses by the end of the year. So I think this was also a sign to tell markets that Greece will be a prime investment destination and to sort of massage major houses even more and convince them that Greece needs to be upgraded in terms of investment. Very significant step, and we're waiting to see exactly how it will play out. But I think markets are quite confident on Greece today.
Sticking with the economy, Niko, Mitsotakis also pledged to bring incomes for Greeks significantly closer to European levels. Is this and the economy going to be the government's biggest challenge on the domestic front?
I would certainly say it was their biggest card that they played in pre-election season, and rightfully so, because it's certainly the population's biggest concern. Now, all polls before elections measured that, of course, the economy is the number one priority right now. And amidst the very high inflation, the number one concern was income level. And this was echoed throughout the Greek society in different demographics. That's the main concern. And I have to tell you, this is represented in a lot of the economic performance indices of Greece right now, where it has performed very well on a number of fronts. Its GDP has grown significantly more than its European countries. There were even stories of the Greek tiger economy this year in some of the foreign press. Unemployment has fallen, and Mitsotakis pledged that he wants to lower it even further and take it below 8% for the first time in years. So all things seem to be going well, but real income levels is where the government didn't perform so well in these first 4 years. And surely amidst this global inflation crisis, this became even more prominent. So I would say it's the government's biggest challenge to convince that a rising tide really lifts all boats and that this development that Greece has been seeing and hopefully will continue to see will actually ensure a higher income. So among other things, yesterday in Parliament, he announced a new salary scale for state workers. It's been a long time that salaries of public workers have stayed stagnant, and they fell tremendously during the years of the crisis, so it's only natural that they also get a raise. He also, among other things, announced a 10% reduction in ENFIA, which is the property tax, for houses that are insured. So here's sort of a tax break that also ensures or wants to signal that there will be this emphasis on regulation, on infrastructure and things like that. Now, the other approach that the government has already tried in the first 4 years and seems to want to continue, is this idea of supporting those that are in a financially difficult situation with subsidies and things like that. So Mitsotakis yesterday also said that the market pass will continue to exist. So this is sort of the state subsidizing some of the household consumption, like supermarket purchases and stuff. And then he also mentioned that the youth pass of 150 euros, so this sort of state subsidy given to the youth, will now be established. It won't just be sort of a temporary measure. So all in all, we do see a lot of pledges that have to do with ensuring that people's income level also rises amidst the story of Greece's economy growing larger in the past and hopefully in the coming months as well.
Moving beyond the economy, Mitsotakis said he's going to step up the pace of reform at the start of this new term. What reforms should we be looking out for in, let's say, the first 100 days?
I think it's very important to see what lies beyond the economy, which surely took a lot of time during pre-election season and was a significant chunk of these pledges now. Mitsotakis has said that he wants to push for some deep reforms. Confident by the large margin of his recent win, he thinks that he can solve some chronic inefficacies, let's say, of the Greek state. He has already signaled three different areas, which are all quite interesting for a center-right party because they have to do more with the welfare, or some could argue they're more closer to social democrat European policy reform areas, let's say. Now, the first one is justice, where he has indicated that we need to push for major reforms, perhaps cutting down on the big bureaucracy, on the massive delays that court cases need before they get taken up and resolved by the Greek justice system. A second one is education. Mitsotakis already announced that he will push for the recognition of foreign universities that want to invest in Greece. Now, we know this is a very thorny issue in Greece. Private universities are constitutionally not allowed. So something like this perhaps would need either a legal working around or a direct challenge of the constitutional article number 16, so constitutional reform, for it to go through. But in any case, this is a sort of a very major field for reforms for Greece. And lastly, health, also being very undermined by both the years of the austerity and very tested by the years of the pandemic. Greece has a public health system right now on its knees, and a lot of stories have been coming out about how it's understaffed, under-resourced, and faces a lot of challenges. Mitsotakis has pledged that fixing and reforming the public health system and elevating the quality of care is one of the things that he really cares about. Something very interesting to note here is that all three of these ministries have been given to people that are outside of Mitsotakis' party, all three of them coming from the area of PASOK, the center-left party. Now, Mitsotakis has repeatedly said that even though he's a one party and now a dominant party, he wants to rule with a sort of bigger coalition. And we do see this reflected in his cabinet. We specifically see it in these three reform areas. Interesting also to highlight that the education portfolio will currently be led by Minister Kyriakos Pierakakis. Admittedly, one of the most successful ministers of the previous cabinet, if we are to take a look at polls as well, where he really reformed Greece's digital governance policy. So it certainly shows that he picked someone who's done well to be tested in a very difficult ministry that, I have to tell you, Thanos, historically in Greece has been a very challenging ministry, and most people that took over the education agenda saw their popularity level take a deep dive shortly after they attempted to implement some reforms. It will be interesting to see if this time this will be reversed.
Nico, you've alluded to this, but I want to dig into it a little deeper. You know, beyond these reforms and economic programs, Mitsotakis had told Bloomberg that he wanted to build a new consensus in the center ground of Greek politics. What does this consensus look like?
I think before I answer your question, we have to take a look at how exactly the parliament has been formed right now, what's its shape and what it looks like. So we certainly have a dominant party system now in Greece. New Democracy enjoyed a little bit over 40% of the vote. The second biggest party, Syriza, barely managed to gather 17% of the votes, just a bit more. So this means that the government right now enjoys a big, confident lead. The other interesting detail of the parliament's composition is that you now have three small parties coming from the far right spectrum. You have a Greek Solution by Kyriakos Velopoulos. You have Niki, surprise of the first election with a lot of sort of very religious, deeply conservative agenda, was the first surprise. And then on the second elections, we had the second surprise, which was Spartiates, the Spartans, party sponsored by former Golden Dawn member and convict Ilias Kassetiaris. So those three parties are sitting on the right of New Democracy. I think that gives the government right now both the legitimacy in claiming that it's representing the center, but also it's creating dynamics that sort of force what we call in Greece sometimes the parties of the democratic arc, those that are closer to the center, to work together in things that clearly they agree with. So I think this consensus, to answer your question, is going to be represented on two levels. I think the first level where we're going to see this consensus building is the composition of the cabinet itself. Now, we have ministers ranging from the center-left of the political spectrum all the way to the deep conservative right of the spectrum. I mean, some of the Mitsotakis' ministers belong to the Laos party, whose agenda is not that different from what Kyriakos Velopoulos and Greek Solution is championing for. So I think that is an attempt to show to society that there's a wide range of ideologies represented in the government itself. But the second level where we're going to see this consensus building, Thanos, I think is in parliament itself, with Mitsotakis attempting to, you know, put forth some reforms and make sure that they pass through with a wider support from the political spectrum. And I'm talking specifically about PASOK and Syriza, who perhaps in pre-election were the two direct challengers or competitors for Kyriakos Mitsotakis. But with a parliament composition where you have a lot of parties that will object to virtually almost everything and whose rhetoric sometimes verges on the extreme, I think it puts pressure on the big opposition parties as well to differentiate their takes and their opposition, to perhaps find common ground with the governing party on certain issues and to challenge it on others with amendments and policy suggestions and things like that. So overall, I think the fact that eight different parties entered Greek parliament, it creates this sense of pluralism out of which there might be a necessity for consensus building behind these big reforms for Greece. This is an incentive both for the government to show that it's not just doing things alone, though it may be a dominant party in the political system at this point, but also for the main opposition parties that will surely want to differentiate their opposition from some of the opposition that these new nebulous and sometimes quite extreme parties will be going through in these next 4 years.
Nico, one issue that's gotten a lot of media attention this week is Mitsotakis' commitment to legalize same-sex marriage. Would this be a major step for LGBTQ plus rights in Greece?
It would be a major step, and I would argue not just in Greece, but in the region as a whole. If we talk about something like equality and, you know, treating all your citizens equally on very fundamental and basic things, of course, it's never too early to implement reform. But I will say that if Greece goes through with this, it will be the first Balkan country to do so, and it will be doing it before Italy does. So it is sort of major for Greece to be taking this step. Now, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, throughout these past 4 years, had been sort of alluding to the fact that he would support a measure like this. But every time he responded that everything will happen in due time. Now, what analysts and LGBT advocates interpreted that to mean was that perhaps he needed to win a re-election to have the confidence to implement as a right-wing party a very liberal social reform like same-sex marriage that is not necessarily the most popular measure, as you can understand, with a lot of its voters. But I think this shift of Mitsotakis and his party to representing the political center gives him more confidence to put forth some of these pledges and perhaps table them in parliament for discussion and a vote. We have to look at how a measure like this would pass in Greek parliament. I do not think that Mitsotakis would ask for his party to support it. He would probably ask for members of parliament to vote on their own conscience. So perhaps a New Democracy party would be split. Looking at signs of how the party would evolve, I think that a significant number of their MPs would support it, especially if it's coming with an endorsement from their recently elected prime minister. But something like this would also probably gather votes from Syriza, who has tabled its own proposal for same-sex marriage, and also PASOK, and probably Zoe Kostadopoulou's party as well. She has been an advocate for LGBT rights. So this is sort of an example of what I mentioned to you before, which is this necessity for consensus building, when we know that if something like this is tabled, on the other hand, you'll have three parties whose agenda is all about defending conservative family values, who have already been very vocal against abortion and equality on so many other fronts, you know they will take up the stand and really rip such a proposal to shreds with their words. So I think it's creating conditions for things like that that sort of represent modernity and openness and policies that lie on liberalism and political center to maybe be put forth and build consensus. One last thing I will comment on, because this sort of ties back to all that we've been saying. Mitsotakis made this pledge, this commitment to legalize same-sex marriage on Bloomberg. He had been repeatedly asked by Greek media all these years, but his first big public pledge that same-sex marriage is a part of the government's agenda was done to a foreign audience, and specifically a media with a market agenda, if you will, and a lot of people that read it who care about finance and investment. I don't think this is a coincidence. I think we know that some of the most major and most high-quality investments really look for the level of openness and extroversion and liberalism that a country has before they invest in it. So I think it was Mitsotakis' pledge that Greece wants to look outwards, be extroverted, and be open. And I don't think it was a coincidence at all that he made this very liberal pledge to legalize same-sex marriage, something that he clearly himself believes in. He first made this to an international audience. So it will be interesting to see if it will have an impact on Greece's rise in the investment rate, and also when exactly is Mitsotakis willing to put forth his policy to legalize same-sex marriage. If I were to take a guess, it would be that he would have to do it relatively early before another election is ahead of him and he runs the risk of losing some more conservative voters by endorsing such a liberal policy.
Nico, it's been great speaking with you as always. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much, Thanos, for having me. It's a great discussion.
In other news, Cyprus-U.S. relations have reached new heights and are no longer viewed solely through the lens of the Cyprus problem, President Nikos Christodoulidis said on Thursday. He was speaking at a reception hosted by U.S. Ambassador Julie Fisher on the occasion of U.S. Independence Day. Christodoulidis said cooperation with the U.S. is an all-encompassing strategic partnership that has produced numerous achievements in many fields, from the establishment of the Cyclops Training Center to the protection of cultural and archaeological heritage. At the same time, Christodoulidis asked Cyprus's partners around the world to share our vision and help us realize the dream of a reunified, free Cyprus. Finally, Greece's newly appointed defense minister, Nikos Dendias, on Thursday welcomed a de-escalation of tensions in the Eastern Mediterranean, expressing hope this would lead to a climate of trust without directly referring to Turkey. Dendias said that trust must be built on the UN Charter and on respect for the rule of law on land and at sea, with the absolute condemnation for the threat of the use of force. Dendias, a former foreign minister, made the remarks after talks with a Cypriot counterpart, Michalis Georgalas, during his first overseas visit following the elections in Greece. Greek Foreign Minister Yorgos Gerapetridis also stated that Greece is ready to start talks with Turkey to resolve a long-standing maritime dispute. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.